Church, say amen. Amen. It's good to know that God will receive us all if we but let Him receive us. Amen. We have to get with Him. He doesn't have to get with us. All right, so let us remember that. It's good to see all of you out on this very different morning. It's different in the sense that we've never seen it before. Different in the sense that it's going to be cold, but yet it's going to be sunny and a little warm. Mm-hmm. Different in the fact that God has allowed us to see it at all. So thank God for that. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Acts, the 12th chapter, starting with the first five verses, and we're going to continue with that and actually pick up another one or two verses out of that. But before we go any further, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Mm-hmm. O Lord, our great and heavenly Father, Father, we just want to say thank You this morning because You have blessed us to be able to come out in order to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. Amen. You presented to us Your Son on long ago as He went to the cross on our behalf. And for this we are eternally grateful. We thank You, Father, for blessing us and giving us a place to look forward to, which is heaven, giving us someone to look to when we have troubles and tribulations, that is You, and then giving us Your Word, O Heavenly Father, that we can learn to live the way You would have us to live. Amen. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the church here at the local congregation here at Stony Island. Thank You for its leaders and its members. Thank You for those brethren who have been trusted to take a part in this services. Amen. We pray and thank You for them, all of them and their families as well. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that You have blessed us to be able to come out at all. Thank You, Father. Amen. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we pray for those who are sick and are not with us, as that sick list keeps growing. Father, I know You know every name on that sick list and many, many others as well. But we thank You for those who are members of this body, and we pray for those who are sick and shut in all over, especially those of the household of faith. We thank You, O Lord. But we pray this morning, O Heavenly Father, that You would give them all the strength that they need, that they may be healed, if that be Your will, O Lord. Then, Father, we pray and ask You to be with those who are raising their children in this wild and wacky world in which we live, O Lord. Asking You, Father, that if it be Your will, that You would give some semblance of peace in this world. We thank You, O Lord. We thank You, Father, for all the blessings You have contributed to us up until this point, and we continue to pray for each and every day that we have left in our lives, that You continue to bless us. We pray for those who are traveling today, those who are not with us, that they may soon be able to return and be with us once again. We thank You, Father, and we pray continuously, O Lord, that You would continue to bless each and every one of us as we move forward in this life. Thanking You for the day that Your Son came to this earth, walked this earth, then hung, bled, and died on this earth for all He has done for us and for all You continue to do for us. It is in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we continue to ask all of these and many other blessings. Let us all say, Amen. This morning, from that 12th chapter of the book of Acts, we want to talk about something that plagues all of us from some time or another. It has often been said of Satan that he is not interested in a dead church. It's the live one that challenges him. A dead church is likely already his. His job, his mission is that of destroying the works and workers of the Lord. He has no use for those individuals and churches that serve God unfailingly. I thought I would let you know today that prayer is the greatest weapon we have against Satan, along with the Word of God. Prayer is good for all people, and it is good at all times, because someone is always in the need of prayer. Some may say, what should I pray for? Well, the Philippian letter has an answer to that question. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "In everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God." So what do we pray about? Anything and everything. So this morning we want to talk for a few minutes about persecution and prayer. Persecution and prayer. So one thing I know is that prayer is always needed. Prayer is always needed, and prayer is needed by all at some time or another. So when we look at this text of Acts chapter 12, we find that the church was persecuted. We find the church members were persecuted, and the members are the church. Therefore, the church too was being persecuted. Look at verse number 1. "Now about the time that Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church." Then number 2 says, "And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." As we see there from verse 1, the church was being persecuted by the government in this case. And now you may not be persecuted by the government in your case, but I guarantee you that some of us and most of us are going to be, all of us are going to be persecuted at some time or another. According to verse number 2, as I read, he had already killed James. And if we follow the text, we find that he also put Peter in prison in verses number 3 and verse number 4. Now, I can't answer why he did not kill Peter as he did James. The only thing I can say is God knows what he does, what he wants to do, and how he wants to do it. But if we have to make an assumption for why, the Bible says that Herod held on to Peter in verse number 4, where it appears that he wanted to bring Peter before the people after the Passover. So when I look at this, I ask myself the question, am I glad that we're not living in the times when the government persecutes the church? See, if the government was persecuting the church, we most likely couldn't be here today. We most likely would not be able to attend services of our choice, as some say. But if he was persecuting, I speak of the Church of Christ, if he was persecuting us as church members, we would not be able to reach out to one another and talk about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in verse number 4, when he had apprehended Peter now, when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter, which is the Passover, to bring forth to the people. So when I think about it, he wanted to make a show of Peter. And I thank God that the government doesn't act on that way today, because we don't need anything that would prevent us from going to church on Sunday mornings. We got enough things going on in our lives that we don't need to be persecuted by the government for attending church. When Christians find themselves in the throes of persecution, and we often do, we should remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 10. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Remember in John chapter 15 and verse number 20, where Jesus also said, "If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." So we're going to be persecuted. Christians are not above being persecuted, and neither is the church. When persecution time comes, there's power in prayer. You know, some of us kind of discount the power of prayer. And I ask you this morning about a little bit of something about prayer, if you will. Just indulge me for a moment. As I think about prayer, I think about how wonderful it is that God left us a way to reach out to Him. How good it is that God gave us a way to just call upon Him, whatever our problems may be, whatever our persecutions may be. Persecution time comes. When it does come, there's power in prayer. When the church folk get to praying, God will hear somebody. And how do you know that, preacher? Well, because none of us as Christians can get by without suffering for the Lord. When the church folk fall into their sufferings, when they fall into their persecution, they began to rely on prayer. How many times has someone came forward at the end of the preaching service of the church and said that they thanked the church for their prayers on their behalf? Maybe it was because of a sick relative. Maybe it was because of them being sick, or even just a sick friend, or maybe some other trouble or persecution. But you see it all the time. People come forward to thank the church for their prayer. That's why I know there's power in prayer. And I'm not telling you that I'm the one who can get a prayer through, but somebody in the congregation can get a prayer through. And I thank God for that He hears and still answers prayer. I thank God that He knows the power of prayer, and He knows when we present prayer to Him, He is willing to at least hear us if we ask in faith and we've been faithful. So there were the prayers of the church. Look at verse number 5, if you will. In verse number 5, the Bible said, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. And the operative term there is without ceasing, of the church unto God for him. See, you're not supposed to just pray for a little while. You're supposed to pray without ceasing. When troubles come our way, we are to be glad to have the privilege of prayer. Even though Peter was still locked up, the church didn't stop praying. You know, some folk like to say, well, I prayed and nothing happened, so I'm just going to stop praying for now. That's not the time to stop praying. One thing you got to learn to examine is, have you really looked at it and saw the matter for what it's worth? Have you asked God to show you if He's already answered your prayer? See, one prayer usually brings on another prayer. If you ask God for something, then you ought to be willing to thank Him when He answers that prayer. So that brings on another prayer. And in between all of that, you need to continue to pray for whatever it is you're asking for. I like that part. They did not pray a little while and then stop. The Bible said they prayed without ceasing. How many times have you went to God in prayer for something, and when you didn't get it, you said, well, there's no sense in me keep praying. That's not the right attitude. There can never be too much praying. When a church prays for members, whatever it may be for, we should not just pray just one time. Instead, we need to pray until that member tells us that that condition or that event has passed, or that condition or that event has become easier for them to bear. If I stood up today and said, I'm in a lot of pain, I don't want you to just pray for me today and say, well, I hope his pain goes away. I want you to continue to pray for me. I want you to pray for me until I come back to the church and say, thank you, church. The pain has subsided enough that I can deal with it now. Don't stop praying at just once or twice. Keep on praying. Keep on letting God know that you were sincere about whatever it is that you were praying about, whatever it was that you were praying about. Then there are two notable provisions here we need to take notice of. That this praying was in the house of Mary, and that there were many in attendance. In verse number 12, look at verse number 12 for a moment, if you will. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Listen to this. Where many were gathered together to pray. Now, I tell you something about that. The only way a lot of times you're going to get people to come into your house is, number one, you're having a party. Or number two, you're serving food. If you're serving food, you can get a group to come in real easy. But when you tell them, come on, let's have a prayer meeting, nobody wants to hear you praying. I do that when I go to church. Well, sometimes everything is not happening at church. Sometimes you need to pray out of church. You need to always pray away from church, as a matter of fact. Some folk like to come together so that they can have food and camaraderie, but sometimes you have to ask God in the presence of others. Sometimes it's good to get together in the company of others and just pray together for one of their own. They began to pray. They were praying for Peter. And the Bible says, again in verse number 12, the Bible says, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house. Now, I want you to notice something there. They were praying, but Peter was already free. He had already been gotten out of jail. The angels had already rescued him, but they had not stopped praying. So I tell you this morning, don't stop praying, because persecutions are going to come your way and you need to be able to continue to pray. Some folk let persecutions get in the way of their prayer life. Well, that's not the way to do. When you're persecuted, you want the persecution off of you, don't you? You want the persecution to leave you alone. But you say to yourself, if I already prayed and nothing happened, I may as well just deal with this. Well, you can't deal with it like God can deal with it. You cannot deal with it like God can deal with it. When the church was in the midst of, when the church is in the midst of contrary winds, learn to be like this church was and just keep on praying. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Prayer has a way of changing people, things, and situations.
All right, preacher.
We can't see God, and when we can't see God at work, all we have to do is look around and we can see what He has already worked on. Even though Peter was still in prison while they thought he was still in prison as they prayed. I believe that Peter, while he was in prison, and this is just an assumption on my part, I believe that Peter still had faith and trust in God. And you might say, well, why do you say that, preacher? Well, even though he was bound with chains, guarded by two soldiers, the Bible said that he was sleeping. You don't go to sleep if you got something on your mind. You have a hard time sleeping. But Peter went right to sleeping. And does that sound anything like someone who is concerned about some issue or something? It was the Philippian writer who said to be anxious for nothing. In 4:11, he said, I have learned that in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Then in verse number 13, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. How many times have you heard your grandmother or your mother quote that scripture? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. When I think about that, it brings up in my mind that nothing is impossible for God to help us to do. You know what? God doesn't need our help. We need His help. God is our helper. We're not His helper. We are the feet of Jesus in this world today, and we can get the word out, but God doesn't need our help to accomplish things. So when I consider verse number 12 there, where Peter went to the house, and look what he did in verse number 13. As Peter knocked on the door at the gate, a damsel came and hearkened, named Rhoda. And verse number 14 says, and when she saw Peter's voice, when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how that Peter stood before the gate. God had delivered him. God had heard the prayer, and God had allowed Peter to come out of prison. So that's why I want to get into the power of prayer. All Christians should understand and know that prayer is the way to God. The way we talk to Him. The way we thank Him. The way we seek forgiveness from Him, and the way we ask Him for deliverance from whatever may be happening to us. You know something? There are all kinds of problems in our lives. Whatever your problem is might not be my problem. Whatever my problem is, it may not be your problem. But God is able to deal with all problems, all issues, all persecution, all storms, and all troubles that come into our lives. So when I think about the way we seek forgiveness from Him, the way we ask Him, the way we are delivered from Him, and from whatever may be happening to us, I think about that, how wonderful prayer is. You know, when I think about what we would do without prayer, who would we talk to? I guess I'd get on the phone and call up a bunch of you all and say, look, I got some problems here. Can you come help me? And most of you might say yes, but some of you probably would say, I just wish I could, but I can't right now. Some of you might say, well, I would if I could. And others may say, well, ain't nothing I can do about it. But I thank God that we have power in prayer. I thank God that there is power through the Word of God, and I thank God that He does hear prayer. In verse number 6 through 12 there, we find God at work, for Peter was freed. And I just want to let you know that there's power in the prayers that we send up to God. Now, I'll tell you something about the prayers that we send up to God. God may not answer it when we want Him to answer, or He may not answer the way we might want Him to answer, but that does not mean that He does not hear, and it doesn't mean that He will not answer. It just means that it doesn't may not be to your satisfaction. You know, I thought about it when, in Psalms chapter 65 and around verse number 2, where David said, and when he was in his praises to God, he said, "O thou that hearest prayer, unto all flesh, unto thee all flesh come." The power of prayer can calm the storms of life that all of us go through at some time or another. Here the church was doing what the Word of God teaches us to do in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2. That is, we are to bear one another's burdens. Now, I don't want you to bring me all your bills, but if you got some situations going on, I'll be happy to try to pray for you. That's how we bear one another's burden. Take some of the load off your shoulder and let it be on some of the members' shoulder and let them help you to bear the burden. Maybe all they can say is, "I feel your pain, I feel your sorrow, but only thing I can do is go to God for you in prayer." That may be all they need you to say. "I'll go to God in prayer." The church should always be in a praying mindset so that when persecution comes, the immediate response should be just one. Let's talk to God about it. That's the only thing you need the church to say to you. "We'll go to God in prayer for you." And if you reach an individual member and that member doesn't offer to pray for you, say, "Look, I need your prayers, and I need you to ask God on my behalf to help me get through this situation I'm in." So in verse number 6, look what the Bible says. Verse number 12 again. "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John." He came to the place where the members were meeting at, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And in verse 13 through 14, the little damsel recognized the voice of Peter. And look at verse number 15. "And they said unto her, You must be out your mind, you must be mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel." In other words, they thought that he had already been killed, and that this was an angel of the Lord, of Peter, sent to them. But then, in verse number 16, Peter didn't stop either. He continued knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. Well, why should a member of the church be astonished today when God answers prayer? God does answer prayer, you know. Amen. The church, as I said, should always be in a praying mindset. So when these persecutions come our way, and just because you're a member of the church, don't think that you're not going to be persecuted. I've already read to you in John 15 where Jesus said, "They persecuted me, they shall also persecute you." So we know that we're going to be persecuted. And the problem is, sometimes you don't understand the persecution because it's coming from places you never thought it would come from. It can be coming from inside your house with your family. Yes, with your family. It could be coming from inside the church with the church members. Yes. It could be coming from your job, from your boss, or it could be coming from in the street where maybe you don't even know people, but they persecute you anyway. When we pray, we must have faith and trust that God is able to deliver what we are praying about. Daniel petitioned our God instead of a man-made decree, and God delivered him from the power of the lions in Daniel chapter 6. Didn't he do it, church? Amen. Yes, he did. Jesus prayed in Luke chapter 22 and received strength and it helped to help in his time of need. Jesus knew that he was about to go to the cross, but he needed some strength. Sometimes that's all we need is a little strength. If I come to you and tell you I ain't got no money, I may not be asking you for money. I may just simply be asking you, hey, give me a little strength to go through this situation I'm in. I'll pay MasterCard on my own, but I just need a little help to be strengthened so that I can pay them when I can. So when you think about it, we too can find help for our troubles and persecutions in our times of need. Persecution, when they come to us, know that God is greater than the persecution, and He can fix all things, whatever His will might be for us. So as I continue to look at the text there, look what, and Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him, they were astonished. But in verse 17, but he beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them, watch what he told them, how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. God's word, God's answer to our prayer are sometimes astonishing to people. Sometimes we don't seem to understand that if we ask God for something, He may answer us. He's able to answer us in all cases, but He may answer us, but we may not get the answer that I'm looking for. I just want you, God, to answer my prayer. And if you answer my prayer, show me, Lord, that I be not so surprised when that answer to my prayer comes. If I asked in faith, I got to be expecting in faith. I've got to be expecting God to answer my prayer. And when God answers your prayer, don't be surprised how He answers your prayer, for there is power in prayer. Do you remember in the Old Testament when the Israelites were up against the army on one side behind them and the Red Sea in front of them? And what did God do? God did the impossible. He parted the waters. He made dry land for them to cross through. Gave them a freeway or an expressway that was completely dry, not even muddy, just dry so that they could walk through. What happened when Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace? Didn't God take care of them? I tell you, God is awesome. God is wonderful. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. So when I think about this matter, I'm not surprised that as the church was praying that God allowed Peter to be freed. I'm not surprised when we here in the church pray for somebody that's sick, that person comes back and tell us how great and how thankful they are that God has healed them. I'm not surprised when you ask God for things and He gives you things. I'm not surprised that He gives you the things that you ask for. But now, don't always expect what you ask for, because many of us ask things that are not kosher with God. Many of us ask things that we wouldn't know how to handle if we got those things. Lord, just let me get $1 million some kind of way, Lord. I don't have to play the lottery, but give it to me some kind of way. And sometimes when we get that money, if we got that money, some of us wouldn't know how to act. Some of us might not even come back to church. So God knows how to answer us, and He knows how to answer us on His terms. And I don't question God when He answers on His terms. I still say, thank you, Lord. That's why you have to say to God when He answers that prayer that you ask for, however He answers it, thank Him anyway. Thank Him anyway, because He knows better what you need than you do anyway. He knows how to give you what you need instead of give you what you want. Now, I'm not saying that you don't ask God for what you want. I'm not saying that God is not able to give you what you want. And I'm simply not saying that God will not give you what you want, but all I'm saying is He's going to give you your needs first of all. Your needs are what matters to God. Because if you can satisfy your needs, then you can hopefully satisfy God in terms of your faith and in terms of your studying, in terms of the Bible. You know, when you look at God's Word, when you think about God's Word here, you ask yourself a few questions. You ask yourself, oh, Lord, how can you do all of this stuff? That's where your faith comes in. You have to believe that God can do the impossible. Mm-hmm. And He can, and He has. Then you say to yourself, Lord, I've tried to live by your word. How come I'm going through some changes in life? Because you're going to have persecutions in this life. How come my life can't always be a bowl of cherries, as the old saying goes? Because without troubles, you don't know, you may not learn, you may not trust in God as much. You may learn to think that everything is always going to be this way, and it's not. So God sends us some of these things to try our patience, to test our faith. I believe that when God tests us, some of us may not pass with flying colors. Some of us may not pass at all. And some of us will pass with flying colors. But the one thing I do know, and that is this, we are to pray and pray always. We are to pray and faint not. So in other words, when you leave church, I know my time is drawing near. When we leave church, don't stop praying. Some folk in the church, and I'm not talking about anybody in here, but some folk in the church just pray when they come to church. And the only reason they pray when they come to church is because somebody is leading them in a prayer. Some folk don't pray when they get home. Some folk don't even... How many times I remember growing up and watching some of my friends and fellow comrades, if you will, how that they got ready to get in bed and just jumped in bed, never saying thank you, Lord, for this day that you have allowed me to be a part of, never saying, Lord, I need your help to go through this night. There's power in prayer. How many times have you seen someone that tell you how great they are? Not ever giving praises unto the Lord. Do you remember the rich man with Lazarus? How that he kept talking. I mean, the rich man in all of his barns. How that he kept talking about how he was going to build barns. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do. If I'm not mistaken, for in those six verses, he said I 17 times. Now, that's not giving any praise and credit to God. He didn't say, I'm going to go down there and help the widow woman down the road. I'm going to give her food because I got so much in my barns. But instead, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. And what happened to him? God called him, didn't he? Did he not? Just when you think you're sailing high and just when you think you're flying high, God can bring you down to earth. Now, in fact, God can see that you go in the earth. So this morning, in your times of persecutions, learn to lean on God through the power of prayer. You know, that's a wonderful tool for us to have, prayer. Prayer is a wonderful tool for us to have in order. It's the only tool we have to reach God that we can talk to Him. We can read His Word, but when it comes to communicating with it, we ought to go to Him and be happy to go to Him in prayer. Ask yourself this question today. Lord, what will I do without the power of your prayer? And learn to lean on prayer. Learn to lean on God, but lean on Him through the power of prayer. He answered Peter. He answered the church's prayer as they were praying for Peter. He can answer our prayer if we're praying whatever we're praying for, as long as we're not asking for anything outrageous. So ask God that He may pray that your prayers might be answered, and ask Him in faith. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, and then being baptized. If you are a member, you went astray, remember these terms. Come forward, ask the church to pray for you that you may grow stronger in whatever it is you're going through. Sometimes what you're going through is more than you can handle by yourself. That's why you need the power of the church to pray for you. Somebody can get a prayer through. If this is your desire, we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Hear the